I was thinking back about when this sort of way of being started, and I think it started when I was really little. I remember telling my parents, I grew up in Paris, France, and my parents were very successful business people. And I remember telling them when I was really young that I wanted to be a social worker. And that being received with condescension and laughter and like,
Oh.
you know, that was a silly idea. And so, you know, life moved on and I moved to the States and I engaged in a career as a makeup artist for the movie industry. And I remember that the best joy I had in my work was when I would sit one-on-one with an actor or a model and really connect with them and have a heart connection. And then came a time when my career grew and I was on the set with some movie stars and I was holding a brush and thinking that, you know, the most I'm going to contribute today is I'm going to powder somebody's nose. And it just felt like a slow death to me that I need to do more than this. This is just not enough. So life went on, and I started a bakery, a French bakery, and then again, what really fed me was feeding people and doing small acts within running the bakery. It wasn't the big running of the bakery that worked for me. It was the, you know, the kind touch, the knowing what someone's favorite cookie was, the just these little pieces. And that ended, and I heard about life coaching, which I'd never heard about before, and I thought, this is it. You know, this is what I want to do. So it was sort of going back to being the social worker that I had wanted to be when I was 7 years old, and just making life easier for people. I really believe that it takes very little from, we have so many varied resources. What you have that will cost so little for you to give to me could make my day 100 times better, and vice versa. So that just drives my days, and it drives the way I raise my kids. And I just really believe that there's a mathematical equation there that is pretty magical. Giving very little, it, somewhere in the conversion becomes very big when you receive it, and same for you towards me. So I'm really fascinated with that. And in 2000, I was craving connection and community in a really, really, really deep way. My kids were growing up, and I could feel that I needed more connection in my life. So I decided to create sort of a community center here. I live on an island in Anacortes, Washington. And I thought it would be a good idea to call it the Anacortes Wellness Center. It sounded pretty grown up, and so I started to call it that, but someone who knows me really well said, you know, a wellness center doesn't sound really authentic. If you could start any center, what would it be? And I said, well, you know, I'd start a center for happiness, but that doesn't really exist. And as I said it, I knew, you know, that's totally what I'm starting. So I started the Anacortes Center for Happiness. And it got really lit up and it felt really authentic and really where I needed to be in the idea of spreading joy while experiencing joy and doing goofy things and doing things that just make people laugh or feel warm or even just comforted. It's not always about laughing. It's, you know, just that sweetness of connection. And that is when Hadia, who is on the call today, sent me that picture of these people wearing these orange jumpsuits, and I thought, yeah, let's do it, because that just fit completely in the model of just doing it for the fun, just doing it for the joy we're going to experience, and when you experience joy, there's no way you're not going to share that joy.
Wow, absolutely. As you're sharing with us on the call right now, that's just beautiful. And I love how, you know, this childhood dream of being a social worker, it's like you are a social worker in a sense, with all the joy and just the work of pulling together a society is happening. That's really, really sweet, Laura. Thank you.
Well, you know, there's this authentic part of us, and we can get it squelched down, but it's going to pop out. It's going to ooze out somewhere. It might be when we're much older, but it's going to come out.
Yeah, yeah. Can you say more a little bit about that? What do you think brings out that authentic part? Earlier you spoke about, you know, sometimes people might just hold back out of fear of like, oh, will it seem odd if I do this? You know, will it, is it even something small as smiling as a stranger, will that seem odd? Or if I offer to, you know, carry this person's heavy bag, I don't know them. So how in your mind does that authenticity rise up?
I think it has a lot to do with surrounding yourself with people and environment that allow for that who you are to shine. And for us to do that for others as well. If we're scared, you know, if we're scared that by being who we are, we're going to get ostracized from the tribe, then we won't be who we are, because being part of a tribe, whatever tribe it is going to be more important than that. It's almost like survival. But if our tribe becomes this warm, supportive environment, then little by little we become much more safe in seeing who we are. So we get to make that choice. We get to decide who the majority of the people we spend our time with are. That's one way, I think. And you know, in my work as a life coach, to me, authenticity is always a priority, because I believe that we all have something so magnificent to share that if we choose something else, something maybe more palatable or more conventional, we're going to be cheating everybody.
Right.
And you know, even generationally, I recently got reconnected with a part of my history that I had, that somehow had been sort of squelched, which is that my great grand uncle was a huge, huge social figure in France. He is the one who got the women to vote. He is the one who got the 40-hour work week in France. The paid vacation. Wow. The man created paid vacation for people who'd never heard of that. And somehow, as I was growing up, this had been sort of shunned and shamed for some reason. And only recently do I get to see even the support from that. That's my tribe, you know, that's my bloodline. And there's something to that that's really empowering.
Absolutely, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And with that, I wanted to ask you, so who are, it sounds like your great-granduncle certainly might be one, but who are some of your inspirations in sort of those big ways, and also in the smaller ways of life that we know are subtle but matter so much?
Well, my grandma would be one. She was always very, very joyful, and there was something there that was really inspiring for me. So I would say my grandma, Lily. Watching kids. Kids are an inspiration, because they don't think a whole lot about, you know, how things are going to be received. They're just very authentic. And then, you know, there's many different people. I would say Pema Chodron is a really big inspiration for me, and Bartoli about living in the moment, and I can think of, you know, authors, but also people you see every day in the street, and my friends are a huge inspiration, and my friends are what make this possible, because the whole thing is a big play fest. I mean, it's really a big worldwide party, and there's no way I could do it by myself, or that I would want to. So everyone who says, sure, I'll hold a sign, they're an inspiration right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. That community that comes together and validates and takes joy in it and multiplies the joy.
Yeah.
It's so important. Speaking of inspirations and kids, I know we touched upon this just a little bit yesterday, but I'd love to bring this out to the audience. How did the logo for the Happiness Sprinkling Project come about?
It came about yesterday, so it's really fresh, and there's still a little few adjustments being made. It came about, you know, again, it started with this tribe. So over the last 10 months, something completely magical has happened with the Happiness Sprinkling Project, by which there are hundreds and hundreds of people who have done this, the sprinklings. And we have, some of us have met, some of us haven't, but we're all working, and I'm using the word working a little bit loosely here, but we're all building this together, and I see it all the time. People will troubleshoot each other if something goofy goes on with the shipping, or offer, I mean, the reason I'm on this call right now, if we track it back, is because a lady happened to walk by a sprinkling in Portland, went back to Chicago, said she wanted to do a sprinkling in Chicago, and then told me that she'd read in a magazine about the Pollination Project. And then Alyssa from the Pollination Project introduced me to Service Call. Mm-hmm. So it's just this amazing chain of events that happens. So a couple of days ago, Peter, who is one of our Portland Happiness Ambassadors, emailed me and said, we need a logo. And the second he said that, something just, I don't know what he did, but he just like sent me a visual image to my brain, and I saw the logo the second he said it. And the logo, the way I saw it, included a drawing that my son had made when he was really little, maybe 5 years old. And it was a drawing of the earth with people all around holding hands. And I had carried this darn drawing everywhere through several moves, and I thought, okay, I got to go find it, but I couldn't find it. Took me a couple of hours, and finally I found the drawing, and I was just guided, boom, 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 I took his drawing, and I added a few things to it, and within a couple of hours, there was that logo, and I emailed it to Peter, and he said, this is like out of the Twilight Zone, because that's exactly what I had pictured. So now, you know, you've got this kid drawing, and you've got this man in Portland just kind of beaming out a design and it being created. And that's a lot of what has happened with this project. There is just, you know, it's just wanted to happen. It's happening so smoothly, and so many people are part of it, and so much sweetness. I mean, for me to see my kids drawing on the Facebook page or the web page, it's just so sweet. It just adds to the sweetness. And maybe it's not the most corporate logo there is, but I don't really care because it's my kid.
It's genuine and filled with love. And as we talk about this, Laura, I think, you know, there's a sense that when all of these kind of, when the sweetness just kind of continues and takes its own momentum, there's sort of an openness that comes, like just the trusting of people, trusting of the way things will have their own organic, you know, way of flowing and such. So I just wanted to ask you, how has this project impacted your life? What have been some of your sort of personal gems of wisdom that you've gotten out of this work as it's unfolded and taken its own shape?
It's a lot of trusting. There are many times when I've told myself, what the heck am I doing spending time on this when I'm not exactly sure that I'm going to be able, you know, the financial side of it is a little unreasonable, I guess I would say. And it's a lot of time, you know, it's become a lot of time. And every time it just comes through that there is no doubt that it's absolutely the right thing to do. So it is a lot of surrender, a lot of trust, and I think all of it is fueled by the joy. It is so much fun. It is so joyful. And every day I get an email that says how impacted someone has been by either holding the sign. I mean, there's a different levels of magic going on there. There is the joy of holding the signs. That's right. Something that every time I do it, I forget how wonderful it is. So there is that part. Then there is the part of coming by an event and having that being, you know, exposed at you. And sometimes they cross over because often people will say, hey, can I hold the sign? And then there is this amazing, and I think for me that might be the biggest thing, there is this wave of this weave of a tribe being built that is so fulfilling. My cup is so full from that. The connections I've made, the connection people have made with each other. People are traveling to each other's events. You know, it's like air for my lungs. There's just nothing else I want to be doing that I could be doing. When I'm doing that, there's nothing else I could be doing that would be better.
Oh, you're clearly thriving on this, which is just such a good reflection of your heart and the beauty within you.
And the feedback is so, I mean, you know, we need feedback. It's tough to keep going when you don't get feedback, but I get feedback all the time. I get photos. I mean, we have photos of people being so happy, and it's just a wonderful little, it's a joy fest.
It is a party. Definitely.
It's a party. It's a yellow party.
Wonderful. So can you, with that, you know, with the stories that you hear from people, from their experience, can you share a story with us about someone who's experienced, you know, perhaps maybe even a deep transformation from a simple effort?
Yeah, I can give you a little which is also about why the project even started. So can I backtrack and tell you a little bit about that?
Yeah, wonderful.
So the way it started, you know, Hadiya sent me the picture. We decided to do it. I had people submit whatever they would want on their sign. A local printing company agreed to make the signs for us at no cost. And it was before the elections last year at a corner in town where the political parties usually stand, and it's kind of, you know, pretty heavy energy. So we did it. We got it ready to go. We ended up on the street corner holding the signs, had a blast. And then I put the signs away, and I didn't think anything more was going to happen. And so that was in May, and the summer came and went, and then in September I was invited to do a little event in Seattle with a friend. It's called Parking Day, and you take over a parking spot and turn it into whatever you want, and it's just a fun day.
Aww.
So I thought, as I was leaving, I thought, let me grab some of those signs that we made. You know, I'll grab four or five, and we'll decorate our parking space with it. So I did, and we put a few signs on the street. And then as we were getting ready to wrap up, I asked people there, hey, you guys, do you want to stand on the corner and hold these signs with me? It was rush hour in Seattle, and they said, yeah, let's do it. Mm-hmm. So we got on the side of the street and held these signs. And it was unbelievable. There was just five signs, five of us. People were honking and waving. And then this woman came towards me and asked if she could hold one of the signs. And it was the sign that says, it's going to be all right, which happens to be misspelled, by the way. And so she held the signs, and she held that sign straight up in front of her. And after a few minutes, I turned around to check on her to see how she was doing, and she had tears running down her face as she was holding that sign. My guess is, you know, it was speaking to her as much as it was speaking to others. There was just something there.
Okay.
And the energy was so strong, and this man walked by, and he was waiting for the light to change, and he said he would hold the signs while the light changed until he went to the gym afterwards. And he stayed with us for an hour. He said, there's no way I'm going anywhere else. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And he was dancing, and so then I packed the signs and I went home, and the next day I was thinking, I wasn't even thinking. It just kind of burst out of me. It was like giving birth. It's like, there's no way I'm going to be getting in the way of holding this thing back. It's asking to grow. And within a day I had a website and I had the domain, and I had figured out how we were going to do it and pass them from person to person. So that lady holding the sign there and crying was so impactful for me. It just told me, this is big. And words, if you think about words, like if you go about your day this afternoon and you look at what the written word is as you go about your day, you will find words that are informational, you know, telling you where you are, where to go, and directions. You will find words that are to sell you things. You will find words that are to scare you, possibly. You will find, very rarely will your eyes rest on words that have no other agenda than to support you. we're not used to that. It just does not happen very often. And I think that that's what the power of these events are. And people get a little cranky sometimes. They say, well, what church are you with? Or what are you selling? Or what are you doing? And the power is in the neutrality. We're not asking for anything. We're not selling anything. We're not convincing you of anything. We're just sitting there, standing there, offering you some inspiration if you want it. And that seems to be very, very touching for people. I had a mom email me and tell me that her daughter suffers from depression, and that to do the sprinkling is a really big deal for her, that it really makes a big difference, that she's out there sharing that with other people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really beautiful how sometimes the very healing that we need for ourselves might be what we're providing others at the same time, and, you know, concurrently healing from it as well.
Yeah. Because we're all one. So, you know, whether I hold the sign or you read the sign, it doesn't make any difference.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting, too, like you were saying, just that it's come to be in our society that if there are a bunch of people holding signs out in the public space, there clearly must be a protest or something. And just to kind of shift that paradigm a little and be like, no, it's just simple messages of human compassion. And, you know, that's such a beautiful, beautiful effort.
And we were contacted by an organization who wanted to join in with us and sort of, you know, a corporation, and they were fairly aware of the fact that we needed to stay neutral, but it was still some sort of corporate sponsorship that would be visible. And as appealing as the thought is to have some means to further the project, is just not something that would ever work, because the second you take the neutrality away, then something is between the messages and the people, and that's why we do what we do. It has to be a straight line from our words to their heart. And the second there is some agenda to that, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, very true. Very, very true. So another question I have for you is, and a little bit earlier you were talking about how this has impacted your life in terms of, you know, just the work that you're doing, the people that you're connected with. I'm wondering, how has this impacted, you know, the other side of your life, the more sort of personal or private or with your family, with your son, as you were sharing earlier?
Well, my kids have done it with me several times.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Not all of my kids, but a couple of my kids. And it's so amazing to do something like this with your kids. And I have, I know several families who do it together. And there's some, it's sort of like the, you know, I hate to call it team building because that's so funny sounding. But there is something about doing this together that really creates a bond. The laughing together, the lighting people up together, that's really big. Mm-hmm. So in my life, I just feel at home, you know. I just feel like I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, and there's something about that you can't beat. You know, it's like, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And when the voice comes that says, "Isn't that a little silly?" I go, "Yeah, it kind of is, but that's what I'm doing."
Hey, it's making people happy and spreading smiles and more joy in the world, you know.
Yes, and it makes me want to do more and more and more. And on October 25th, it will be 1 year since we had our first, you know, out-of-state sprinkling, which was in Washington, D.C., right before the election. Helena said, I said, I have this idea. And she said, yeah, I'll do it. So October 25th was our first out-of-state sprinkling. And for the anniversary, I really wanted to do something special. But I knew there wasn't the sets are pretty expensive. There was no way we could have many, many, many sprinklings at the same time. So what we're doing is we are offering for people to order little packs of 10 cards. Mm-hmm. And the cards are like mini, mini version of our signs. And on October 25th, whoever has these packs will hand them to someone, hand a sign to someone, or leave one for someone to find. And so I want to do this all over the world, and we have somebody who is going to do it in the Czech Republic. And so it's starting to grow, the movement of the October 25th thing, where I would just love for, you know, 1,000 people all over the world to, on that very day, sprinkle happiness individually.
Wonderful.
And that's going to make some kind of wave somewhere, you know.
And like you said, it's really hard to measure, you know, just every corner that the ripples go into, but you trust that they happen and you know, that there's beautiful change happening. With that, it sounds like you've definitely been connecting with many different people in far-off places, you know, far away from home and this noble effort that you're involved in. What does that feel like? What does it feel like to just be connecting across state boundaries, country boundaries, with strangers on this topic?
It feels amazing, and it feels a little bit scary, if I'm going to be honest here. It feels... there's a little bit of responsibility that comes with that. I don't know if I can quite explain how, but it feels big. And very sweet and amazing and right in all kinds of ways. And there is a little bit of, say, you know, how did I do that? And is that okay? And there's just a tiny bit of responsibility, and I can't quite explain why that is. But most of it is just joy and wanting to do it more and more and more and more.
Yeah, very true, very true.
We did an anniversary sprinkling here in town last month, and it was wonderful. We all got together again at the same place we did it the first time the May before, and did it, and it was just really, really, really great. And a couple of days ago, I was looking for a housemate, a part-time housemate, and this woman came, and it was just this instant great connection, and she saw... She somehow knew that I was affiliated with the Center for Happiness. And she said, you know, I was getting off work the other day on my bike, and she had a hard day at work. And she said, I saw all these people wearing yellow signs, and I was wondering if they were with a church or what the heck they were doing. And she stopped and asked, and I don't remember that. I don't remember seeing her. But she stopped and asked, and they told her, no, they're just spreading we're just sprinkling happiness. And the little girl who was with us walked to her and said, just be happy. she said that she cracked open and she started bawling right there. All the tension she'd held from work the whole day, she just started crying right there. And it was so amazing to hear that here's this woman coming to look at, you know, maybe being my housemate, and she just happened to have seen this thing a month ago. It just tells me again and again, you don't know. It's like being Santa Claus, you know. You deliver the gifts, but you have no idea when they're going to get opened. You're not going to be there.
What a sweet thing. You just, constantly there's something happening, right? It's that gift of...
Constantly. I am blown away. This one lady had missed her train in Portland, got off at the wrong spot, which actually turned out to be the right spot, and saw us and came to talk with us. And her daughter was saying, don't make eye contact, Mom. These people are not well. Just don't make eye contact. So she went straight to us and started talking with us. And she said, oh, my gosh, I found my people. And within a month, she had held her own happiness sprinkling. And she became part of, we have a group called the 90-Day Gratitude Challenge, and she became part of that. And it's like this tribe is just building itself one little stitch at a time, organically.
Very nice. Before we head off into opening up the Q&A,
go ahead.
I was going to ask one last question, actually, about the 90-Day Gratitude Challenge. If you can speak about that a little bit, and just, again, you know, any powerful stories or personal learnings, and then I think we'll be opening it up for questions and comments from the audience. Is that right, Audrey?
Yeah. So I'm just going to open up the queue now.
So the Gratitude Challenge is that what I was supposed to do right now? Do you want me to tell you about that?
Yeah, that'd be great if you could.
Yeah. Okay. So that came out just about at the same time. There must have been something in the water last May of 2012, because that came out just about at the same time. I was at home one evening, and I'd had just such a sweet day. People had given me flowers and just little acts of kindness. And when my kids were little, before they went to bed, I would say to them, what was the best part of your day? And that's how they would end their day. And I was sitting there in my house alone and thinking, I have to share with someone how blessed I am, the gifts I got today. And there was no one around. And it was 11 p.m., which is a time when I'm usually completely done with anything. But I knew I couldn't sleep until I did that. So I created a Facebook page, and I called it the 90-Day Gratitude Attitude Challenge. And I explained what I just explained to you on there. And I invited a handful of friends. And it grew to be this just amazing entity. We're now a year into it. It's become, so this, the idea is very simple, and obviously it's grown beyond 90 days. Now we don't even count the days. But the idea is that you come in, and you can do it for 90 days. It will change your life to do it for 90 days. Mm-hmm. The idea is that every day you go and you share with the group what gifts you've received for the day. So it could be anything from, you know, someone handed me a ticket to Hawaii to someone smiled at me today. It can be anything. And then people, there's this thing that happens by which, by sharing your gifts, people feel like they've gotten them too. I can't really explain what the heck happens, but it is, for those of you who've been on the gratitude page, it has become a force to be reckoned. People have traveled to each other's, have met each other. We had an anniversary party last month. People came from all over the place to celebrate with us. It's become a support group. It's become a funny group. It's really, really quite amazing. And a lot of the people on the gratitude page have done sprinklings and vice versa. But it's all the same thing. It's the idea of sharing your joy. And for me, the gratitude page has altered my life deeply.
Wow, pretty powerful. Thank you, Laura. I'm just really, really touched again by your enthusiasm, by how quickly a wonderful idea comes to your mind, and there you are implementing it the next second. It's
well, that could be a pathology. I don't know about that.
Well, kindness pathologies are good. So thanks.
I actually... yeah, we are about to go into the queue, but I just wanted to jump in with a quick question, which is, I was struck by that comment that the daughter in your story earlier mentioned about, you know, mom, these people are not well, don't make eye contact. And I was wondering, you know, when you're out there or when you are doing this kind of stuff, a lot of it, there's a real joy to it. But that joy can often seem a little fluffy to someone who might be in a different space.
Sure.
And so I was wondering, how do you kind of build a bridge to reach someone who might be coming from a place of scarcity or coming from a place where this kind of stuff just doesn't translate?
Well, I don't, because that's where their path is. You know, like we had a man come to us and we had the free hug sign. And he came by and said, you know, I don't hug anybody. I don't even hug my kids. And, you know, it's not my job to convince people, because then I would be doing the same thing all these other words are doing. So I feel really clear that my job and our job is to offer. But definitely not push, and definitely not to try to bridge, not just being who we are and trust that whoever is meant to receive this will. And maybe it's just a seed that will come out, you know, that will start growing next month or next year. It's really important to me to offer, but no more than that. Because people are where they are, and by you being who you are, you give them an opportunity to help themselves to your joy if that's what's right for them right now. But you can't, you know, you can't, you know, it's like people who spank their kids for having pushed someone on the playground. It's like you can't, You can't bully someone or you can't pressure someone into being happy or being joyful or feeling joy. You can just be the joy, and if it catches, then it's wonderful. If it doesn't, it's just not the right time.
You're sprinkling some wisdom on this call.
I know. That's beautiful. Thank you. Prakash, go ahead.
Thank you. What a joy. Afreen, thank you so much. What a beautiful symphony of the conversation. I truly, truly loved it. Laura, thank you for inspiring us to play and be part of this worldwide play. I love that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. My next question comes from the glimpses that you shared. I think one thing among several other, I think as Audrey rightly said, the sprinkling of the wisdom all over, be the joy and such. One thing that sort of stood out for me was this clarity and enthusiasm. So I want to zoom in a little bit on the clarity aspect. I wanted to invite you to share a little bit on some insights from where, how do you draw clarity on action? Seems like, you know, as Afreen was saying, it seems like if there is an idea that comes to you, you embrace it so much, and it doesn't just stay in your head and heart. You pull your hand into it and implement it. So I was going to, I was interested in understanding or getting some insights from your journey. How do you find clarity in your to act, and what process do you take?
You know, I think that has to do with the way I'm wired. And it's not always a good thing. You know, I backtrack sometimes. I goof up and I backtrack, and it's like people say you have to measure twice and cut once. I measure half a time and I cut three times. There is something that's just the way I am wired, so that what happens is something comes through me and I can't not do it. It's like if you have an itch, you got to scratch it. If when it's coming through me, I just have to do it. You know, like the gratitude attitude came up at 11 p.m. at night. I knew I wouldn't sleep. There's a creative force that just breathes through me, and I just have to make it exist in the real world. So I guess on that end, I'm lucky, and that's thing that's the best way I can put it. But on the other end, where I'm really lucky is that I am not fighting it. And that has to do with what I was talking about earlier about authenticity and the tribe. So if I was around people who told me all the time, listen, you can't move this fast. Hey, you got to think about this. And what if, and what if, and what if? I think I would shrink and I would suffer and I would, I couldn't do any of it. But A, I spend a lot of time alone, so there's not a lot of people telling me not to do that. But also, I'm surrounded by people who are like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. So that's a good match for me, and that allows me to just do it. And then I goof up, you know, like I wrote a couple books. There are a few typos in them, but they're out there. So I don't go for perfect, and a really dear friend of mine tells me that often. She's like, listen, we're not the center for perfection. We're the center for happiness. So she's right. I don't go for perfect. Mm-hmm. I go for delivering. And if I think something is worth delivering, I can work at it until it's delivered. So I don't know how helpful that is, because it's not something, I don't necessarily have a tip sheet or a trick. I just go for the end result, and I sacrifice sometimes perfection for it. Like I say, one of our signs, you know, when I ask people what they wanted on their sign, they give it to me on Facebook, I copied and pasted. Well, you know, someone else might have taken a day and thought about it and looked at every sign, and I didn't. So now we have several sets of signs all over the country that says it's going to be all right, with all right spelled the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not like somebody's going to drive at an intersection and goes, oh, this is misspelled, so probably it's not going to be all right. They're still getting it. But you know, it's there's something about my own pace that sort of bypasses what other people might be more happy with, which is a better sense of perfection.
Yeah, if this were to be a Facebook page, I would say super like. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
That is so beautiful, and I just want to actually really quickly sprinkle something. It's so sweet to hear this exchange between Prakash and Laura on this particular topic, because Prakash is one of my inspirations. I remember when I heard him say, you know, just start where you are. Just start where you are with whatever you've got. And it's so sweet to hear that exchange with the two of you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for the gift of allowing for this. And I'm just full of chills here. This is amazing.
Thank you. We'll go to our next caller. I believe you're already unmuted. It's
319-504-7493. Yes, it's Diane, Laura.
Hi, Diane. Diane is on our gratitude page, and she has been from the beginning, and we've never spoken in person before. But we have spoken a lot on Facebook and done a lot of things together, and she has sprinkled. So you've allowed us to talk for the first time. Hi, Diane.
Yay. Well, I didn't get a chance to share at the beginning, and I'm just going to share how impactful this, it was the original 90-day gratitude page that I found out, and I'm actually from Iowa, USA, and that is 5,000 miles away from where Laura is, round trip, and there was somebody local who is a coach and somehow made connection to Laura, and she said something on her Facebook page about this Laura Levine in 90-Day Gratitude, and that's how we all got, you know, that's how I got started on it. And then there was a happiness sprinkling in Ames, Iowa in June, and I have to share a testimony that if you even have, as Laura says, an inspiration or a gut feeling that you need to participate or do this, I would recommend you follow that, because my husband and I were diagnosed with celiac disease 10 years ago, which I have lived with 10 years ago. Woe is me. We can't eat wheat, rye, common oats, and barley, and I spent 10 years making sure people knew about, you know, I was really passionate about it, and also different, you know, belief systems on different things and so on. And it was so intense for 10 years, and I've practiced the last year through the Gratitude Challenge and other things to try and lighten up and live, as it were. And I experienced almost a complete life transformation when I participated in holding the signs for this happiness sprinkling in Ames, Iowa, because I was like, well, don't we have to do this, and don't we have to do this? And I was, you know, the whole analytical stuff. And I remember Susan saying, I don't think so. I think we just hold the signs. How much more simple is that?
Right.
You know? And I just, and I was asked to take pictures, which I love to take pictures. But aside from that, it was just the whole aura feeling behind this. I didn't have to talk to anybody about celiac disease. I didn't have to, you know, it wasn't heavy. It was very light and freeing to be able to just be and do the other thing that I love to do, which is to encourage other people, period. And the signs speak for themselves. My husband got into it. He held the sign that says, you rock, and it just changed his life. Because he sits there and, for, you know, for a week afterwards, we're just beaming. And I had a couple of people on Facebook, what are you doing? What is this? Where is this? How do you do this? And, you know, I had somebody from Connecticut talk to Laura Levine. I don't know how it all comes together. I just know it's awesome.
We can feel your
Diane
beaming across the phone.
So, and when they had their annual party in Anacortes, I asked a few people, and I know she's on this call, there was somebody that went out of their way to make sure that we could Skype, you know, and it blessed my heart so fully. But I just, again, thank God bless you, Laura, but I just think this is just awesome, period.
Well, I think you're awesome, and I think, you know, this is a it's not me, really. You know, I just have this feed bullet way of doing things, and then everybody else takes it on from there. And I love what you say about what Susan said. I know, I don't think so. I think we just hold the signs. And I love that because that's really what it is. We just hold the sign. There's not a whole lot of rules, and people actually interpret their own sprinklings as they want. We've had people bring their dogs and dress them in yellow. We've had people bring balloons, bubble machines, or nothing. Just hold the signs. We've had sprinklings with 30 people. We've had sprinkling with 3 people. But the essence is just hold the signs and trust that they're going to land exactly where they're supposed to land.
Yes. And the other thing I'd like to add, it was quite a, I don't know if you know this, but there was somebody in the Ames group that showed up, and they brought the window blind glasses to wear, some little hair pieces with the daisies on. It was just, it almost reminded me, oh, no, we're going to go with a hippies theme here, and I don't think it's supposed to be a theme. But it was just, it just added so much life to it. It just made it so much more fun. And the person I talked to her later, and I was quite, and of course I congratulated her. The sunglasses, the hair pieces, or whatever, was she really wanted to do this, but she was terrified. And it was a way for her to bring these to, quote, hide behind.
Sure.
But by the end of it all, she was like, when are we going to do this again? And we're going to be doing it again at Ames on October 6th. And I am so there.
Yeah, I like what you say about, you know, people sometimes have to hide a little bit. And the thing is that, you know, we've done it in L.A., in Sherman Oaks, very, very plush area, and we've done it in South Chicago. Next month, we're going to do it in the Skid Row area of L.A.
Mm.
It doesn't really matter because, you know, your need for joy is not related to your bank account or the size of your house. We all have a need for joy.
Mm-hmm.
So this can work anywhere.
Hi, Laura. It's Sherri-Ann.
Hi, Sherri-Ann.
I'm another person that has gone on the sprinkling and also on the 90-day attitude gratitude. And I just wanted to add just a couple of things to what Diane was saying. I have found, I've done a lot of volunteer work in my life, and I have found that there are so many people out there in our society now that are struggling, not just economically, but they feel so isolated. And the work that Laura does and now is spreading throughout the world is so important because it brings people together in a happy situation, having fun, and it helps those that do feel isolated. It affirms that they are not alone. And for one brief moment during the day, it empowers them. And like Laura was saying in her talk, you know, she is planting a seed. We don't know where that is going to blossom or when, but I know it will. And so these types of projects that Laura has come up with and is sharing with the world, I think is a good thing. You cannot be sad and happy at the same time. And so even the Dalai Lama has mentioned several times that the emotional part of our humanness is so much more greater because than the physical. Even if we are physically ill, it can actually heal. It can actually heal the heart and change the world. And so that's what I need to add today. I just think the world of Laura and her friends and this group, and I feel very blessed that I'm a part of it in a very small way.
Thank you, Sherri-Ann.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. I was curious, so you, someone, you, I think you mentioned that you wrote 2 books that have some typos in them. And I was curious to know a little bit more about the books that you've written.
There's 2 of them. One is called Pink Hair and Chocolate Cookies. And they're both a series of very small stories, and they are kind of like little life lessons where I take a story. Basically, they're the same things as my newsletter, the compilations of my newsletter. So there will be a little story about something that happened that was really impactful and what I thought to take out of it. The reason it's called Pink Hair and Chocolate Cookies is there's a story about this woman who had pink hair, and there is a story about chocolate cookies. The chocolate cookies were cookies that when I had a bakery, Oprah show called and wanted to get the cookies delivered and shipped to Chicago, but I didn't know who Oprah was. And I was apparently inconvenienced to ship cookies to Chicago. And so it's a story about, you know, be gentle for yourself when you realize that you've goofed up big time. So
great.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, that was really silly. But so one's called Pink Hair and Chocolate Cookies, and the other one is called Petites Histoires, which means little stories in French. And they're very sweet, and they're a quick read, but I think each story is pretty rich, and I love these two little books.
That sounds so sweet. As I'm listening to this conversation, it just seems like you have such an eye for catching all those little moments. So thank you for that and capturing them in so many different ways.
Yeah, there's so much richness everywhere. You know, there's so much richness everywhere. There's so many signs. To me, it feels like life is a little bit of a treasure hunt and a game, and there's always the clue to the next place where you're supposed to go. And to lead from joy, I think, is just so important. I sometimes tell myself that I need to be more grown up and more you know, a little bit more conventional, like when I tried to film Happiness Center, the Wellness Center. A month ago, I was invited to speak at TEDx. And on the same day of the event, some of my friends had agreed to organize a sprinkling close to where the event was going. So they did the sprinkling, and when I was getting ready, I was to close the TEDx conference. So right before our last break, I went outside to get a little bit of fresh air, and I was very focused. I had been rehearsing my talk for weeks, and I was very focused. And I walked outside, and oh my gosh, these guys arrived. They decided to come by and just kind of beam some energy through the campus or something, and I saw them arrive, and they were post-sprinkling high. They had boas on, and they were laughing, and they were so full of joy, and they arrived, and we took pictures, and by the time I walked back into the conference, my concentration was completely gone. All I could feel was the joy of the sprinkling, even though I hadn't done one. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And they called me on stage, and I walked on stage, and instead of being, you know, grown up and focused, I was just giddy because I'd just been with them with their post happiness sprinkling joy. And you know what? It was perfect. The name of my talk was Go for Joy, and the universe delivered to me the perfect way to do that, and I just walked on stage filled with joy instead of filled with concentration. So, you know, coming from joy is just a really fairly sure way that you're going to share more of that. And practicing and analyzing and all that, it's important, but I don't think it's as important as coming from joy.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Kanchan. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, we can.
Hi. Yeah, so happy to join in for at least a few minutes. Sorry, I had an emergency and couldn't be on the call. But I didn't have a question. I just wanted to say hi to Laura. And it's so interesting that when we were planning this call, I mentioned to her that I live in Portland, and she said that our next sprinkling is on the 25th of this month, and she's coming to Portland, and I'm going to sprinkle with her. So
yay!
I'm really looking forward to it. So I just wanted to say hi and happy to make the connection.
Hi, I'm so happy to make the connection, and I really look forward to it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Afreen, did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask?
So one thing I'm wondering, Laura, is, you know, what are one of the things we like to ask guests is, like, what are those edges that you feel like you're working on and kind of smoothing out? You know, what are some of the things that might come up as challenging still, either in this work or just in your personal, you know, path of growth? What are some things that you grapple with every now and then and you're working on?
Well, there are a couple. So the first one, and, you know, that's a completely a personal sort of thing. It has to do with allowing myself to have a large impact without slowing down in fear of changing personally. I just want to make sure that I stay clean. I have had some experience in my early years growing up where I have seen that having a wide reach sometimes could affect people's personality in a way that wasn't necessarily for the good or serving. And so I think one of my challenges and one of my paths is to just remind myself that it's okay, it's okay. You know, just keep doing your work. It's okay. You're not going to follow that model that you saw when you were younger. So I would say that's my biggest challenge. I mean, that and continuing to make a living while I do my work.
Yep. Very practical and poignant realities.
But other than that, there's very few challenges. It's really pretty smooth and wonderful.
Yeah, I remember one of the things you said when we were chatting earlier was just like, there's no stress involved. There's just no stress. You just hold a sign.
Yes, I think that, you know, I don't know how many sprinklings we've had over the last 9 months, a lot. And if we could measure stress, I don't think we've had, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that between me and the happiness ambassadors and the happiness sprinklers and people being sprinkled, I don't think we've moved that needle at all. Or very little. It's all been very, very, very easy and very, very smooth and very, very, very joyful. And the Pollination Project awarded us with a grant that allowed us to buy more signs. And just at the time when I was starting to think that I don't know if we can juggle what we have anymore, this is becoming, I don't want to get in the way, I don't want to slow it down, but if we don't have enough sets, we can't keep providing. And the Pollination Project came and gave us a grant, and now we're set for a good while. We have, you know, plenty, and we can definitely sprinkle more and more. Now, the next step is going to be how to do it in Europe and how to do it. We've just been asked to send signs to Malaysia. So then that's,
wow.
You know, do we translate them? There's going to be a fun little bit of logistics to work with there, but you know, that's going to be just a fun challenge.
Kind of it reminded me of the quote by Thich Nhat Hanh so I mentioned earlier about how you can't be happy and sad at the same time. It's almost like you can't be happy and stressed at the same time.
Right. Thanks, Audrey. This is Lavanya from Champaign, Illinois. Yeah, it's been amazing just to hear your voice, Laura, and that's something that I feel very grateful for today. It's been just to hear the vitality in your voice has been great, and I think my main question was already asked by Audrey, so I'm going to ask maybe like a other different question as to how you manage to keep the energy going. Is it part of how you think of it as something bigger than yourself, or what is it that keeps you going in that? You said there was no stress, there was no, you know, most of the people I've seen who are gonna, you know, into this whole planning of different events and so on have some level of stress or the other, especially when they're doing it at a national scale or, you know, potentially a global scale like you're talking. So can you say something more about that?
Yeah, so the energy at the, you mean the energy at the personal level in my day-to-day life, or do you mean the energy of the movement?
At the personal level.
Okay, so, well, you know, I'm very, very fed by what I'm doing. So, I mean, I wake up in the morning and I can't wait to go and see who wants more sprinkling or who has put up pictures. This is something that gives energy a lot more than it takes energy. So, and it's simple. I mean, it's for some reason that day that I created this business model, I don't know who I was channeling or what I was doing, but it came out of the oven pretty perfectly baked, so that it is very, very simple. All I need to do is orchestrate it, and also, you know, stay on Facebook and keep the energy moving, and but everything else just sort of happens by itself. The signs get shipped. There is an organized system by which the sprinklings happen. There's a lot of trust too. Once, if you tell me you want to have your sprinkling, I'm going to send you a guide that gives you our guidelines, and there aren't very many. And then I'm going to trust that you're going to do something great. So I don't sit there wondering or double checking or micromanaging. I just release it. So it's fairly, fairly simple. And then on a personal level, you know, I sleep 8 hours. I take care of myself. I have a really great life. I'm pretty big on, you know, like there's the idea of stress management. Some life coaches work with stress management, and I don't, for me or my clients, I don't believe in stress management. I believe in stress elimination. You know, I don't want to learn to manage my stress. I want to learn to have less and less stress. So there's, that's just how I try to live my life, eliminate stuff that's in the way, and then just, you know, have less of what I don't like, more of what I like, and appreciate it. And that's how it happens. But I think at the base is just, I'm just very lucky that this is a very simple project to grow. It's very replicable. And if by this time next year we have 20 sets of signs circulating, it will take more time and maybe I will need some help, but I don't think it's going to be more complicated. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. That's beautiful, actually. And it's amazing that you're here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. So I'm going to close our queue. And Laura, we're just so grateful to have gotten the opportunity to hear all your insights and really just more than that, more than the words, just the spirit behind the words that's in you. And just, you know, from your pink hair and chocolate cookies to your story about going and doing the TEDx talk with giddiness, you know, fueling it rather than concentration. It's just, and all the comments and all the people that have been on this call that have shared their perspective from sprinkling happiness is really just a testament of how universal and how, I don't know, just how easy it is to resonate with this and how needed it is in our world. So thank you so much for being who you are
for having me and giving me this opportunity. And I invite anyone who wants to join us on October 25th to join us and to sprinkle happiness with us. It's very, very easy. You don't even have to create an event. We'll just send you a little pack of cards, and you just hand them to people or leave them places. And I feel really strongly about making this October 25th a big, big event. So if that excites you, please join us and share it. There's a Facebook event that's set up, and I'm just really excited about that.
Wonderful. We can't wait, Laura.
Great. Yeah. And we'll be sure to send out your website in a follow-up email so that folks can kind of learn more if they'd like.
Thank you. Thank you.
So,